Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today with the Mishnah at the lower half of Daf Lamed Ches, 13 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah and the Sugyah that follows will deal with a Shomeris Yavam. Reuven and Shimon, for our common example, are two brothers. Reuven was married to a woman, and Reuven, died, leaving no children. And at that point, his wife is waiting to marry Shimon in a Yibum marriage. Now, when she is in that state, the widow of Reuven is waiting to marry Shimon, she acquires properties. The Mishnah will be dealing with the legal status, who is considered the owner of properties that she acquires at that point, and we'll see other cases as well where we deal with the properties of a Shomeris Yavam. As far as when she acquires those, that will be dealt with in detail later. So we turn to the Mishnah, and we've broken the Mishnah into several parts. Number one, Shomeris Yavam Shenaflu Lo Nechosim. As we described, she's waiting to marry the surviving brother of her husband, and she acquires properties. Rashi adds she gets properties from her father. And again, we're making the assumption that she is receiving the properties, the possessions or the properties, at the time she is a Shomeris Yavam. So, Moidim Beishamai Ubeis Hillel, there is no machlokis on this point. Shemucheres Venoisenis Vekayom, she can sell or give away those properties, and her transaction sticks, it stands. In other words, she has complete control over those properties. Number two, Mesa, the woman, the widow, now she dies. She dies before she married the brother-in-law, Shimon. Ma yaseh b'ksubasa, uv'nechosim hanichnosim v'yoytzin ima. What are we to do by way of distribution of her ksuba? Ksuba is to keep things simple. It's the money that's written in to her marriage document that a woman is entitled to at the point that she becomes a widow or is divorced. So there's money that was coming to this woman. However, she didn't actually get it because she was waiting for her brother-in-law to marry her. But she died before that ever happened. So we're interested in knowing what happens with the money that was written into her original marriage document, the ksuba. And it's pointed out that also includes properties that are known as Nichsei Tzon Barzel, that her husband had taken upon himself responsibility, that he could, on the one hand, use them, but if there's any change in value, and any drop in value, he would have to make good on it. But let's try to just keep things simple. The ksuba is money that is written into her marriage document. And nechosim anechnosim v'yotzimah, that's a reference to another kind of property that she brought into the marriage, that the husband was entitled to benefit from its fruits, but he didn't take any personal obligation over maintaining the value of that property. So you have nechsei, the ksubasa, those are properties, that's a value or money that's written in to her marriage document. We can, in a certain manner of speaking, you can view it as coming from the husband's side of things. And the nechosim hanechnosim v'yotzinimo, those are properties that are coming from her family or her side of things. So what do we do with these properties when she dies? Beis Shammai Omer. Here we have a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as opposed to the first stage of the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omer miachloiku yorshei habal im yorshei ho'av. There is division between the yorshei habal, the heirs of the husband, and that might very well be a reference to the Yavam himself. He was the brother. He would have inherited his. He would have inherited his deceased brother, and the Yorshei Ha'av are the members of her family. Her father is still alive, so it would be the father, or if not, so it would be his heirs. So Beis Shammai says that the Ksuba and the Nechosim HaNechnosim V'yotzin Imo, the Nechsei Milug, are divided. Beis Hillel Oimrim Nechosim Becheskosan. Beis Hillel prefers the method of solving property distribution by emphasizing the given status of the property. Who has a stronger hold on the given items? So Ksuba Becheskas Yorshei Habal. The ksuba, as we said before, that's money written into the marriage document that a husband would have to provide upon his death to the widow. So the ksuba is becheskas yorshei habal. Their known or given status is that of the husband's side, the husband's heirs. And in our case, that would be the Yavam, for example. And the Nechosim HaNechnosa V'yotzin Imo, properties that she brought into her initial marriage from her father's household, from her father, so those properties remain with her family. That's Becheskas Yorshei Av. The Av referred to, by the way, is her father. So if he is around, the father is around, he will get that. And if not, his heirs. Now, a third point in the Mishnah is a third situation is Kansa, where the Yavam marries her. In other words, the Mishnah opened up with the woman in her Shomeres Yavam state, in her waiting state to be married. The second part of the Mishnah dealt with that woman having died. And the third part of the Mishnah deals with a case of her being married by the Yavam. So Kansa, Harei, Ki Ishtoi L'chol Davar. She then becomes like a wife regarding all areas of halacha, a regular full-fledged wife. As far as the money guaranteed to a woman when she gets married, that money would be drawn from her first husband's holdings. In other words, it's the property of her first husband that is bound to pay her ksuba. And again, in this case, that would be in the event that after she married the Yavam, and the Yavam dies, so the money that's guaranteed to a woman upon her becoming a widow would come from properties that were owned by her first husband. The Gemara. My shno resha delo pligi, umay shno seifa de pligi. What is the difference between section 1 of the Mishnah and section 2? The Resha is the word Rosh, the beginning of the Mishnah, the opening part of the Mishnah where we see that there is no controversy, no argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They agree. Lo pligi means they agree that property that she got while she was alive remain in her position and under her control. And in the Seifa, where she dies, we don't find that Beis Shammai maintains the Nichsei Melug, for example, Becheskas Yorsheha. They in the second part of the Mishnah, Beis Shammai says they divide. In other words, if you were to follow, again, superficially, the course of events, in the Resha, you have a Shomeres Yavam. She was waiting to marry the Yavam, and she got property from her father's house. Her father's household, she acquired property from there. She's in full control of the property. So now, if she's in full control of the property, when she dies, it should remain in her father's household. It goes to, if the father is still alive, he gets it, if not, to his heirs. Why, in the number two section of the Mishnah, do we find Beis Shammai saying the properties are split between her family and her original husband's family, the Yavam? So that sets the stage for the Gemara. And you'll notice on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, Mivneh heading, a topic heading. The Nosei is the topic, and Mivneh, the structural note. And we indicate that this is relevant until Lamed Tesam and Aleph. You notice that there is a diamond, a bow tie shape. These represent Tshuvos, La'she'elah, the answers to the question that we just opened up with my shno resha, the maskimin Beis Shammai, sheyavama sheletus benechosim shenof lo. What is different about the resha where we see Beis Shammai agrees that property she acquired, she is in full control of, umay shno seifa, the plingi Beis Shammai, where Beis Shammai disagrees, they argue that kishemeso hayavama, where the yavama dies while waiting to get married, dinichse maluk shelo lo ovrim kulam liorsha, they don't all go to her heirs. In Gemara markings, we often like to get an overview, a bird's eye view of the sugya. In this case, we will see answers to explaining the difference between the resha and the seifa, section 1 and section 2 of the Mishnah, where in section 1 we see there is no argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and in section 2, Beis Shammai disagrees with Beis Hillel. Ula represents answer number one. If you have Lamed Chesomet Beis in front of you, if you have to scroll ahead or turn the page, you'll notice number two. Just look down the left-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi. You see a number two in a bow tie. And second line from the bottom, you'll notice a number three. And on Lamed Tes Amid Aleph, you should notice a number four, three lines from the top. So now, having gotten that overview, we go into the Gemara. Omar Ula, three lines from the bottom. Ula says, Resha, in the beginning of the Mishnah, where we saw that the widow, while she was a Shomeres Yavam, had full control, Denofla Kishihi Arusa. Be very careful with this translation. It's not a reference to the property directly, but rather it's a reference to the woman becoming a Yavama when she had been only an Arusa to her first husband. And now, as a Yavama, the property reaches her. She gets property now from her father. But let's again emphasize, the woman featured in the Reish as a Shemeres Yavam that had reached only Arusa status with her original husband. They did not consummate the marriage. We've pointed out many times in the past, but if you happen to be a first-time listener to Gemara Markings as you're listening to this shiur, so we have to repeat, in marriage, according to the Torah law, there's a two-stage process. There's first kiddushin, where the woman is given money, or there are two other means, but we'll just leave it simple. And in exchange for the money, the woman commits herself to marry the individual, the husband, the groom that is proposing marriage. Now that's erusin. That's the first stage. At that point, she is considered a married lady. She cannot be with any other man. However, they have not as yet consummated their marriage. That is a second stage, and that's called chuppah or nisuin, where the woman stands under a canopy with her husband, and then they engage in intimacy. With that intimacy, they thereby consummate their marriage. That's a nesua. So the resha is describing a woman that had not consummated her marriage. She had not reached nesuin. So that the relationship she had with her first husband, with the deceased, was that only of an arusa. And he then died, leaving her a widow waiting for her brother-in-law to marry her. So it's at that point, before Yibum took place, that she acquired the properties. Well, in that case, we say she has full control over the properties. The Seifa, we saw she has to, but the properties of the Shomeres Yavam after she dies are split. We're talking about a woman that had reached a more advanced stage of marriage with her first husband. That's the Nafla. Nafla means she fell to Yibum. She became a Yavama Kishi Nesua after she had reached Nesuin with the original husband. And now the Gemara goes on to explain these concepts through a long point. And this long point goes down quite a few lines down the top of Omid Beis. But before we get into the Gemara's elaboration on these, the difference between a woman who becomes a Yavama from the stage of Erusin versus a woman who becomes a Yavama from the stage of Nisuin, let's first glance at Rashi. Rashi, five lines from the end of the Rashi commentary, Kishi Nisua, she became a Yavama after she had reached Nisuin, Hilkach. Reisha, where she fell to Yibum as an Arusa. The Legabi Arusa Mamish, if you were dealing with a woman who was a Arusa, namely her husband was still alive. Kaimalonda Beishamai Timkor, Kidisnana, come on. If her original husband was still alive and she received properties as an Arusa, Beishamai says she can sell the properties. She's not beholden to her husband whatsoever, according to Beishamai. Kol shekein zu she'eino ela zekuka b'yama. All the more so in our case of a Yavama, where she's only bound, zekuka, she's connected or bound to the brother-in-law. All the more so will she have full, complete control over the property. She's not married to anyone at this point. And even when she was married, she had only been married to the Arusa stage. And as such, even in the more significant relationship of an Arusa Mamish, an actual Arusa, Beis Shammai gave preeminence, full power to the woman. So all the more so, now that she is only waiting for the Yavam. Ubeis Hillel, on the other hand, the Amri Barusa Vadai, in a real Arusa, where her original husband is still alive and she's an Arusa with him. Beis Hillel's approach to that is, Lo Timkor L'Chadchila, Aval Im Mocher V'Nosa Kayam. They are not so in favor of the woman selling. They don't give her full exclusive power in the sense that she can sell as a first choice. But if she did sell the properties that she was bringing into the marriage, the sale stands. So, hacha, in our case where she's only a Shemeres Yavam, having become that from being an Arusa, Mishum de Safek Arusahi, she's classified. These are legal classifications. Even though the word suffix is used, a doubt, and we know what she is. She's waiting for the Yavam, but it's classified as a weakened or doubtful type Arusa. So her connection with the Yavam is of a lower nature. And she's not Mamish, his wife. Modu Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel will concede here. De Mocheres Venosenes Lechatchilo. She has full exclusive control, and she can sell and give away as a first choice. So with regard to the Reisha, things are quite clear. There's no controversy. And hence she has full control of the properties, because she, at best, she had been only an Arusa. And now, she's even less bound to someone else. So as we turn back to the Gemara, the explanation of what we just said in the Rashi will be elaborated on in the Gemara. V'kosovar ula, zika sarusa, the connection that a woman who had been an arusa has to the yavam, oise safek arusa, it makes her like a safek arusa. Zikas nesua, oise safek nesua. So in both cases, in the first section of the Mishnah and the second section of the Mishnah, we're dealing with a status that we're going to refer to as safek. In the first case, safek arusa; second case, safek nesua. And the triangles are used to highlight points that are made in the Gemara on the side under the Mivneh heading. Hoychachos shel ula; these are proofs of ula legabi zikas arusa v'zikas nesua ma heim oisim. The zika is binding or the connection that the woman, the widow, has to the surviving brother, surviving her husband, her brother-in-law. Zikas arusa, oise safek arusa. This connection that she has to the brother-in-law as having fallen to Yuvam from arusa status makes it only this low-level connection called safek arusa. The salkadaitach vadai arusa, if it was more significant, it would be considered a definite arusa. So then, would you read the Mishnah as follows? And here we read with a tamiha intonation. Moidim Beis Hillel Shemoiferes V'Nesenes V'Kayom. Would Beis Hillel concede with regard to a Vadai Arusa that she has full control as a first choice? That's not true. V'Hotnan. We have learned elsewhere in Maseches Ksubis. Naflu Lo Nechosim Mishnis Arsa. A woman who acquires property after she becomes an Arusa. And here we're talking about a not a yavoma, but an actual arusa to a man, to her husband. Beishamai omrim timkor ubeisil omrim. And notice the markings. We're focusing right now on Beisilo. Beisilo says lo timkor. She should not sell the properties. Eilu veilu moedim. Beisilo will agree with Beishamai sheim mochra venosna kaim, that if she happens to sell. So post facto, the sale will be acceptable. But our Mishnah doesn't speak about something post facto. Our Mishnah says as a first choice, Beis Hillel concedes she can initiate sales and transfers of the properties. Elo shma mino, zikas arusa, the connection she has to a yavam, oise safek arusa. It creates a status of being a weak or doubtful arusa. And since her connection to the husband, or to the yavam in this case, is weak, therefore she has full control, and Beis Hillel has no problem agreeing with Beis Shammai under these circumstances. Zikas nesua, now we're explaining the second section of the Mishnah. Oisa safek nesua. She had fallen to Yibum from having already consummated her original marriage. And that now creates the status called Safek Nisua. The Isalka Daitoch Vadai Nisua. If you were to think that her connection to the Yavam, having come from Nisuan status, makes her like a real Nisua, so then the language of the Mishnah once again would not be appropriate. This is a quote from our Mishnah, and we read it with a tone of exclamation. If you're dealing with an actual Nesua, she died from being a Nesua, and her current status would be viewed as if she were an actual Nesua, an actual fully married to the Yavam in this legal category, Beis Shammai wouldn't have said that the Yorshe Ho'av, her father's family, is in the picture. V'hotnan, we have learned back there in Ksubis, or over there, we quoted before Mishnah Ksubis, it says there, Naflu lo nechosim mishenises, if property comes to the woman after she reached Nisuin, and here we're talking about a case where her husband is still alive. Elu v'elu moitim. Everyone agrees, Beisham Yisrael agrees, she mach v'nosna. If she were to have the audacity to initiate sales or transfers of property she got after she was already a Nisua, everyone agrees, Shabal moitzi miyad halukuchas, that the husband can reverse her sales and extricate the properties from those that bought from her. He's in full control. So that Eloshma Mino, therefore we see from here that which Beis Shammai says Cholkin in our Mishnah, where Beis Shammai says the woman who died having been a Nesua with the first husband, the fact that her family divides is in the picture, it shows us Zikas Nesua Isa Safek Nesua. Her connection to the Yavam, having come from Nesuan status, makes her only Safek Nesua. That's a weak level, literally a doubtful type Nesua. And therefore, since she's not fully beholden to the Yavam, therefore upon her death, those properties that came to her as a Yavama, having been a Yavama from a Nisuan status, the woman's family does get a part of it. That's what our Mishnah said. Cholkin yachloku yoshe balim yoshe av. Omar le Rabba. Rabba addresses Ulaf after having heard this analysis. Rabba says to Ula, if the reason for Beis Shammai is because that when you have a doubt, you settle it through division. That Rashi calls Chaluka Adifa. So if the reason for Beis Shammai is that division is the best way to solve doubts, ademiflegi begufa uleacharmi. So instead of having Beis Shammai argue with Beis Hillel regarding the principal value of the property, the proper gufa means the property itself. If it's a field, so we're talking about splitting the field down the middle, and the Mishnah is describing a case after she had died. Why go that far? Why speak about the property itself and the situation after her death? Why is her death so important? Lif ligu b'chayehu l'peros. You could set up the second section of the Mishnah. If you're describing a woman who had once been in a Suwa, so she continues living, and there's a Yavam, she's cooked to the Yavam, and according to you, Ula, your explanation was based on she's a Suffolk Nesua, and as a result of the Suffolk we divide, she could remain alive for all intents and purposes, and we'll still see a manifestation of division through the fruit, the usufruit, the right of benefiting from the produce of the property. Let her family and the Yavam divide. So that, once again, if Ula's analysis is correct, that having come from the status of Nisua, now she's merely a Yavama, she's waiting for the evil marriage, and that creates a Suffolk status, so all we could simply say, the woman remains alive, just like in the Resha, and we divide the fruits of the property. And yet, the Mishnah doesn't say that. It speaks specifically about her death. Before we go on to the answer to Rabba's approach, let's see how Rashi explains what's bothering Rabba. Rashi, across from here, more or less, you see, Omar le Rabba le'ula, itaymo mishum, if the reason behind Beis Shammai's ruling is chaluka adifahu, the way to solve doubts, doubtful status is through division, ademiflegi begufa shokarku lachar misa, instead of arguing concerning the property itself and after she dies, liflegu b'chayo l'peros, set up the Mishnah as talking about the woman who has become a Yavama after having been a Nesua, and the division takes place over the fruits. Without what the Mishnah said, Mesa, in our section number 2 of the Mishnah, forget about it. Don't speak about Mesa. Talk about her being alive, and there is division of the fruits. Tilabei Shammai, Polig Yavam Peri Bahata. The Yavam will split the fruits produced, the produce of those properties. Those properties that she got as a Shemeres Yavam, having become a Yavama from Nisuin, the Suffolk Nisuahi, because of this element of doubt, she's kind of a Nisua to the Yavam. So because we put it that way, she's kind of a Nisua to the Yavam, he has the fruit coming to him. So we say split. Dilu Vadei Nisua Havoi. If she was not just a Suffolk Nesua, but a Mamish Nesua, then he, the Yavam, would take everything. But the Mishnah speaks about a division between her, or her side of things, and him. Ula Beis Hillel, Nechosim Becheskosa Velo Shokil Midi. And according to Beis Hillel, she remains alive. And since we're dealing with Nichse Melug, so the properties are considered hers, and he wouldn't get anything. But after all said and done, the Mishnah does not speak in those terms about the fruit, but rather it speaks about her having died. Umidinokat masnisin misa besefa. From the fact that the Mishnah opts for the misa scenario, shma mino, we can conclude tamayu de Beis Shammai bereisha. The reasoning of Beis Shammai in the beginning of the Mishnah, di almuha lechazaka di la, mishum dihi kaima. By virtue of the fact that she is alive, the rabbis or the halacha, almuha means strengthens her holding on things, on the properties. So with her being alive, her possession is strengthened. Upon her death, so it's weakened. And now we go through Rabba's approach. Elo Omar Rabba. We're at bow tie number 2. Edi vidi, both the Resha and the Seifa, Dinofla Kishi Nesua. And here's the major change in Rabba, different from Ula. According to Rabba, the Resha has her becoming a Yavama where she had, in fact, consummated her original marriage. Vezikas Nesua Isis Sofik Nesua. And the connection she has to the Yavam is viewed in terms of being a Sofik Nesua. Resha Deihi Kaima. In the Resha where she is still alive. In the Resha where she is in control of the properties, she's alive. Again, the Ihi Kaima Havilo Ihi Vadai. She is considered a matter of certainty, the principle being clearly hers. The Inhu Suffolk, the Yavam, his side, Inhu is the Baal's side of things, that's them, equals Suffolk. The Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai. That which is a matter of doubt, unsuredness, does not overpower, doesn't extricate from that which is certain. So she, being alive, has a vadai status. So that even though we speak about her being a Suffolk Nesua, we speak about her as being certainly in possession of the properties. They are considered Suffolk. And the famous principle that we just read, Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai, that which is doubtful, cannot extricate, cannot remove from, take away from that which is Vadai. Seifa de Mesa, the second part of the Mishnah where it said she died, Again, who are we talking about? A woman who had been a nesua to her original husband. He died, and now she died before she did yibum. Halalu boin lirash v'halalu boin lirash v'achloku. As we saw before in the Rashi, because she is no longer alive, so that the element of her holding or her status being strengthened doesn't exist. So everyone is on the same level in this case. And that's what the Gemara means when both sides, her father's side and her deceased husband's side, are both coming to inherit her. And therefore, Beis Shammai says, split. We now turn to the Rashi. Seifa, there's a Rashi with a star. Seifa, Hayol Umesa, since she is now dead, Halalu Boim V'Toyle Mikoch Yerusha. You see, her heirs they were not in possession. They're coming to receive as heirs. Vayavam Toyen Mikoch Yerusha. So both are coming as heirs, her family side and the Yavam. Hukoch Shneim Safek Levei Shammai. Therefore, they both are considered Safek, doubt. Not that one is a Vaday versus a Safek, but both are Safek, both on equal footing. De'i, and as a result of that, Beis Shammai said, split. De'i Zika Kiknusa. If you were to think that the connection, the zika, the connection to the yavam is like fully married, ein kan liyorshav klum shabal yoreshala. We wouldn't entitle the heirs of her father to anything. The husband, as is the rule of inheritance, when a married woman dies, a husband inherits her. Vi lav kiknusa, if she would be viewed as not being married to the Avam, ain't kan the Avam klum. The Avam would have nothing. Lefikach safek v'safek hu v'achloku. And therefore, we see from this that both her side and his side are coming from this safek vantage point, this weakened or doubtful vantage point of, when we speak about weakened or doubtful, we speak in terms of their level of possession. And therefore, since they're coming from equal standpoints, we split her property. Ula Beis Hillel, Hayol V'elu Kroivim Vadoyim Hain, since these her side, her father's household are definitely relatives of hers. V'huchsuka Nachlozu Kvar B'cheskas Mishpachton, and the properties that she got, as we said at the beginning of the sugya, properties she got from her father's house. So these properties are properties that were in her family's possession. Amrinon, we say uki achas kosa. We maintain the properties as their original status. Avol b'chayeha u'leperos. However, if she were still alive and we were talking about the fruits, the usufruct, afilu beis shamai modu dinechosim b'cheskasayhu v'lo shokil baal midi. Even Beis Shammai would concede that the husband's side of things has no claim to any of it. We turn back to the Gemara. Eisvei Abai. Notice we have a long question. Beis Shammai questions Rabba's analysis, and he asks, Ula Beis Shammai ein sofek motzi midei vadai. According to Beis Shammai, is that really so that something that is doubtful must relinquish itself to the side that is considered vadai, that had definite possession, definite possessive status? We find otherwise. V'hotnan. We'll bring a Tanaic source in which there's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We're going to be focusing in our discussion in this long question on Shitas Beis Shammai. Once again, Rabba explained Beis Shammai in the Reisha of the Mishnah, why they agree she has full control, because she is considered Vadai, because of the Suffolk Nesua status, she is considered in definite possession, and the husband's family is considered Suffolk, doubtful possession or doubtful claim. And that which is doubtful cannot take away from that which is certain. Well, is that really so? But listen to this case, Vatnan. Nofal Habayis. A house collapsed, and there were victims in this collapse. Olov v'al Oviv. Olov v'al Morishav. A man and his father, or a man and his benefactors. V'hoyu Olov ksubas ishu b'chov. And this person, we call him the son, he has debts. He has a ksubas isha debt, that means he has a debt to his wife, and he has a debt to creditors, Balchov. Now, this son has no properties of his own. The only chance of his wife or of the Balchov getting what's due to them would be if this son died second. In other words, it's true that both the father and the son died, but if he died second, in other words, first the father died, and at that moment, the moment of death of the father, the son was still alive, the son would have inherited properties and be able now to pay off the ksubas isha and the baal choiv. Upon their death, the son and the father, yorshei ho'av oimrim, members of his father's family, could be the father himself or his brothers, Omrim, they're claiming Haben Meis Rishon V'Achar Kach Meis Ho'av. The son died first, hence the son inherited nothing. He died before his father died. So if he inherited nothing, his creditors will have no source of collection. So the father's family is claiming that that the son, or it's their brother, he died first, and then our father. Ubal chayv oimer, the creditors are claiming ho'av meis rishon, the father died first. At the point the father died, then the son, the individual owed them money, comes into an inheritance and will now have a means of paying off the debts. So they're claiming that the father died first, v'acharkach meis haben. And if that really happened, the ben would be able to pay off the debts he owes to me. Beis Shammai omrim, yachloiku. Ubeis Hillel omrim, nechosin b'chezkosan. Let's focus on Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says division. Division between whom and whom? Between the Yorshei Av and the Baal Chov. The Yorshei Av, the father's, the deceased's family, and the Baal Chov is the creditor. Beis Shammai having said, yachloku. V'hohocha. Yorshei Avadai. It's clear that if you're talking about certain possession of property, at what point was there any certainty? Well, certainly when the father was still alive, he was in possession of those properties, the very properties that the Baal Chov wants to get a hand on. So, but the Yorshei Avadai, the Baal Chov suffering, the Baal Chov never had possession of the properties. Only if the father died first, so then the Baal Chov would have a claim. But if not, he has no claim. So at best, he is a suffolk. And yet, what do we see Beis Shammai saying? Beis Shammai is saying that the Baal Chov is able to receive half of the properties. Because he's suffolk, that's the Baal Chov. He gets half, he's able to take away half of the properties that had been vadai in the father's possession. So how can Rabbah explain the Reisha as he did giving where we saw the Yavama was alive. She had become a Yavama from a Nisuin level of marriage. And now that she's a Yavama, she's considered a Suffolk Nisua. Therefore, her possession of the properties was a Vadai, because we're talking about properties she received from her father's household. And the husband is only a Suffolk. In this case, the Yavam is only a Suffolk. So therefore, he has, Rabbo explained that he has no chance. Here we see to the contrary. We see even though someone is a Suffolk, in this case the Baal Chov, he nevertheless is able to take his, he's able to take half of the properties away from someone that was a Vadai. So let's read that last line of the Gemara again. V'hohacha, yorshi'av Vadai, Baal Chov Suffolk, v'kosi Suffolk, u'motzi mide Vadai. The Gemara answers, and Rabba will have to answer here. Kosavri Beishamai. Beishamai does not view the Baal Chov, the creditor, as a mere suffolk. Shtar ha'oimed ligvois kegavui domi. The document with which the Baal Chov, the creditor, is coming to lay to claim, is considered as if he is already in possession of it. It's not that he's coming to seek possession from someone else, but it's considered as if he already collected his debt. And now it's just a question of splitting the property. Umino Temra, from where do we know that Beis Shammai holds from this principle of shtar ha'oimed likvos, a bill that is due to be paid, is considered as if it's already collected? Where do I get that idea from? This nonce, we have another Tanaic source which speaks about a sota, a woman who had been suspect of immoral behavior. And in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a procedure involving this woman that when she was under suspicion, so she was ushered to her husband until she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and drinks the special water, and it reveals it will reveal whether she's guilty of immorality or not. However, we have a source here where the husband dies before he brings his suspect wife to the Beis HaMikdash. Mesu ba'alein ad sheloi shosu. The husbands died before their suspect wives drank from the special Beis HaMikdash waters. Beis Shammai Oimrim, Noitlois Ksubason V'Einon Shosos. Beis Shammai says, right now, since their husband died, they're viewed as widows. Now let's point out that if she had actually been unfaithful and been immoral with another man, she would lose her Ksuba. We don't know, because we never come to a point of verification. What does Beis Shammai say regarding this woman? She collects her ksuba. She collects money that she would have ordinarily collected had she been an innocent widow. There's an element of doubt over here. But nevertheless, she collects her ksuba, and she doesn't drink from the waters. Ubeis Hillel Omrim. We have a bracketed section that requires a language change, so let's skip it initially. Beis Hillel says, mitoch shelo shosos lo noitlis ksubasin. Since they aren't able to drink from the waters because their husbands died without the husband there, so they can't drink the testing waters, they don't get their ksuba. But we're focusing on Beis Shammai. V'ha'ha'ha, the sofeku. Here, with the sota woman, the suspect woman, there's an element of doubt. Sofek zanoi, sofek lo zanoi. So sofek, maybe she was immoral, zanoi, maybe she was not. No, if she was not, so okay, then she has a right to claim the ksuba. But if she was, she has no right to claim the ksuba. The ksuba is the money that's written into the marriage document entitling a woman upon her becoming a widow to get money. But we don't know if she has it coming to her. We see here that the woman is collecting according to Beis Shammai. she having a suffix status, a status of doubt, nevertheless has the power to collect. And while Shema Mina, we therefore must conclude, Shtar Ha'oy made Ligvois Kegavui Dami, a document of a document that entitles a person to collect, is considered as if it's already collected. So the woman, when she was married, she had a ksuba, that's a shtar, and it entitles her to money potentially. How far does Beis Shammai go with those things? He says if there's the potential for collection, it's considered as if it's already collected, so that you don't have a suffix being motzi. Motzi means extricating or removing from someone else, but rather it's considered already in her possession. There was a bracketed section that we skipped. Let's go over that now. This is regarding Shitas Beis Hillel. When the husband of the Sota dies, Beis Hillel Omrim, Oy Shosos, we're reading within the brackets, Oy Shosos, Oy Loi Neitlois Ksubasan. Either they drink, and if they don't drink, so they don't get their Ksuba, the money that's guaranteed to a married woman after she becomes a widow. So the Gemara asks, Oh, Shosos, what's Beis Hillel talking about? That there's a drinking option? A drinking of the testing waters? How could that be? The husband's dead. The Pasuk says that a husband shall bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the testing waters. But he's not around. Ella, rather, what Beis Hillel is saying, Mitok Shalosh Shosos, since they can't drink the testing waters that would reveal their innocence or guilt, lo notlos ksubasan. But again, that means they don't get any money. They don't get ksuba money, even though she's a widow right now. As far as Beis Shammai though was concerned, v'ha'ha'ha, the safeku, safek zanoi, safek lo zanoi, because he's safeku, mosi mi veitam mitei vadai. We see that she got her ksuba, even though there was an element of doubt that maybe she was, in fact, immoral, and she wouldn't have received the ksuba if we could have proven that. We're in doubt, she gets it. Hello, so therefore, how is it that she gets, how do we have a safek taking away from a vadai? Because she is not viewed as a safek. Hello, shma mina, shtar ha'oymed likos, the ksuba that she had, it is as if it's already collected. It's as if it's already in her possession. Of course, these are legal concepts, but they help to explain how these things operate. The Gemara asks, "Ve Abaye." Now, Abaye, he originally, you notice we have a little squiggled arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you align this with the squiggled arrow above, Abaye asked on Rabbah's Hesber before, how can Rabbah claim that Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vade when we saw in the case of the collapsed house that Safek was Motzi Midei Vadei? The Gemara says, according to Abaye, isn't there another case where we see Safek Motzi Midei Vadei? In this very case of the Soita, whose husband died, she's a Safek whether she was immoral or not, and she is getting money. Now, Abaye, when he asked that question, he didn't know about this. He didn't hold or know about this thing called Shtar Oymed Ligvos Kegavui. That's the answer that they gave to Abaye. When Abaye was asking the question, he was showing a case in the Nofal Abayis with the collapsed house of a Sofek Motzi Midei Vadei. Do you not see the same thing here with the Sota? So the Gemara asks, Ve'Abaye, Los Vei Meha. Why didn't Abaye ask the question on Rabbah based on this source that began with the words Mesuba Lehen, where in fact we saw the Sota, who was a Safek, and she was collecting Ksuba. She was getting money from the husband, or in this case the husband's estate, which had been Vadai. They were definitely in possession of their own money, and yet the Sota, as now a widow, took away from them, got her due. So why didn't Abaye ask his question from this source instead of asking from the Nofal HaBayis? The Gemara answers why Abaye did not ask from over here. Dilma ksubas isha shaini mishum chena. It could be that the case of ksubas isha is different. In the case of marriage documents and money allocated or earmarked for women, we're very concerned about their collection. We're very interested. In other words, in the case of money due to women as a result of their being married, we call it suba, there it might be an exception. That in general, we would have said ein sofek motzi midei vadei. Why? By the case of the soita, is she going to get her money? Mishum chino. Chino is a concept, literally means the grace. But it means that we want to encourage women to desire getting married. And in order to do so, we create a sense of confidence that if anything happens to them, if they're widowed or get divorced, they will get money. With that sense of security, women will now enter or will be encouraged to enter marriage. Just parenthetically, this type of Gemara would appear to some as very straightforward, or some people use the rather derogatory expression, dry halachic Gemara. I beg to differ, and when I say I beg to differ, I mean I differ very strongly with such attitudes. What you are seeing here is the reflection of the Chachomim, the sages, plunging to the very depths of the human soul, the human emotion and essence of a human being's psyche and psychological makeup, and in this case specifically, womanhood. A woman and her sense of willingness to commit or submit possibly to a man, to become the wife of a man, and to lose her independence in the simple meaning of things. Why would she want to do that? What is she getting out of it? What sense of security will she be receiving? And unfortunately, we see how, in fact, this is as we're making this recording, a very major issue about the woman and what happens to her when disaster strikes or family units break up. Chazal, in their divinely inspired wisdom, as we said before, plunge to the depths of the human psyche and ensure that we will take care of the woman. The woman will be cared for. That if anything should happen, she'll, of course, providing she remains a moral, upstanding individual, not like the sota, she is going to be guaranteed her ksuba payment. So she's guaranteed a certain sense of financial security, and therefore, this is not a good example of a sofek motzi midei vadei. But rather, in the case of women specifically, the Chachomim went out of their way to provide for them, and the concept of chena would supersede the idea of sofek and versus a vadai. Whereas, in general, sofek is not motzi midei vadei. But in the case of the woman, so as to encourage women to want to get married, we will allow her, even if she has a suffix status, but even so, to receive the ksuba compensation. So we understand why, when Abaye tried to bring an illustration of suffix is motzi midei vadei, he avoided the case of the ksubas isha, and rather he cited the case of nofal habayis. The Gemara asks, v'loisvei ksuba demasnisin. And this is a bit ironic because here we're going right back to ksuba. However, Rashi explains the case of ksuba in the Mishnah, you did not have the chena consideration. In the case of ksuba of the Mishnah, we saw Beis Shammai saying that when she died, her heirs split with the heirs of the husband. Now, her heirs taking money from her husband's side of things, they are motzi. The ksuba is money that the husband guarantees to his wife. Rashi points out that in section 2 of the Mishnah, she's dead. It said Mesa. So here the issue of trying to encourage her to get married, or even womankind to get married, is irrelevant after the woman's dead. She doesn't have any benefit from the money. And yet, once again, let's just repeat that last point. In the Mesa section of the Mishnah, Chena was no longer a consideration. So we're dealing then on a strictly monetary, financial, or fiscal level of things. What did we see there? After she died, we saw the Yorshei Ha'av, her side of the family, splitting, according to Beis Shammai, with the Yorshei Ha'baal. Now the Yorshei Ha'av in that case are motzi. We can say especially in view of the fact that we're analyzing her as a suffek nesua, certainly that's how Rabbah was describing things, and Abaye was going along with that. He simply asked the question, he was questioning Rabbah's analysis, but as far as suffek nesua, that's what she was. And Abaye tried to challenge Rabbah's conclusion from the case of Nofel Abayis when he could have challenged it from the case of Ksuba in our Mishnah, where once again there is no Chena consideration, and we saw her family, who were not in possession of the Ksuba, were taking away. They were splitting. That means they were receiving something that they had no possession of in the first place. They were receiving half of it, half of the Ksuba. So there is a good example of Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. So the Gemara responds, but again we have to emphasize, when Abaye raised his original question, he was raising it regarding Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, Lo Pligi. Beis Shammai doesn't argue with Beis Hillel. We look in the Rashi, the lower part of the wide lines, Lo Pligi, Demodu Beis Shammai, She Becheskas Yorshe Habal. Beis Shammai concedes that the Ksuba remains in the husband's side of the family, the husband's heirs. Delo nitno ksuba ligvois mechayim. A ksuba is something that cannot be collected when the husband is still alive, and we're going to see very shortly in Rashi, the yavam is in the place of the husband. The yavam stands in the husband's stead. The chol shi meso b'chayev shel yavam lo govu yorshim di la ksuba. And as long as the yavam is alive, her heirs cannot collect the ksuba. The yavam b'mkoin baal koi. The yavam stands in the place of the husband. And as long as the husband slash yavam are alive, she slash her heirs have no claim on the ksuba. So we don't see, from the case of Ksuba, any evidence of Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. The Gemara asks the obvious question, How in the world can you say that Beis Shammai does not disagree when black on white in our Mishnah, Beis Shammai does argue and does enable her family to split, to receive part of that ksuba? So the Gemara continues. V'loi, we're back in the Gemara. V'lo, what is that really said? They don't argue. V'ha katani, it says in the Mishnah. Mesa, ma yase b'ksubasa, uvenechasim anichnasim v'yotzenima. When she dies, what do we do with her ksuba? Now that's all we have to focus on. We dashed underline that. What do we do with her ksuba and those other properties in Yechsei Malug? Beis Shammai Omrim. And again, we dashed underline Beis Shammai. Focus on Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai Yachloiku. Yorshe Habalim, Yorshe Av. And again, we dashed underline the main points. The Yorshe Av, they are the motzi. They are taking away the half of the ksuba. They're splitting with the Yorshe Habal. Ubeisilol Omrim Nechasim Becheskasan. And Beisilol, they disagree and they say you maintain the status, the previous known status as it is. The main point is, why would he not have asked on Rabbah from our Mishnah? What do you mean, Rabbah, when you say Ein Safek Motzi Midevare in order to explain the Resha? In the very Mishnah, the Sefer, no, the section, second section of the Mishnah, we see Safek Motzi Midevare. And that's with regard to the Yorshe Av sharing in the Ksuba. The Ksuba being in the possession, in the Vare possession of the Yorshe Habal. So why didn't Abaye ask from this, from the second section of the Mishnah? Gemara answers, Hochi Komar. We have to reread the Mishnah. Mesa, Maya Sebiksubasa, Vishavka. When she dies, what do we do with the Ksuba? And Vishavka means that was left undealt with, was left aside. So that when the Mishnah features the Machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, they're not dealing with the Ksuba. Nechasim ha-nechnasim v'yotzenima, the nechsei malug. Those are properties, not the money that the husband guaranteed to his wife, but rather properties she brought into her marriage. With regard to those properties, Beis Shammai Omrim Yachloiku, Yorshe Habal im Yorshe Ho'av. There is a split between the Yorshe Habal and Yorshe Ho'av, and they're both on equal footing. Again, here we're not going to get into such extensive detail, but if you look carefully in the Rashi, you'll see why we can say that regarding the Nichsei Malug. And Beisilol Omrim Nechasim Bechezkasan. And if you're dealing with the Nichsei Malug, so that would remain in her family's possession. Omar Rav Ashi Masnisin Nami Daikor. Vashi says that careful reading of the Mishnah will show that, as Rashi says, that the ruling has nothing to do with Shtar Ha'oimed Ligvois, the issue of the her family splitting the ksuba because it was something that she could have collected. No, that you, if you look carefully at the language of the Mishnah, will show you that in fact the ksuba wasn't even dealt with. And how does Rav Ashi show that from the language of the Mishnah? Dekotani, the Mishnah said Yachloku Yorshe Habal im Yorshe Ho'av. The Yorshe Habal are coming to take from, to split with the Yorshe Ho'av. Now the Yorshe Ho'av, the father, her father's family was known to have a chazokah to be in possession of those nichsei malug. So linguistically we see that the focus of the Mishnah is on the nichsei malug. The Yorshe Habal are coming to divide with the Yorshe Av. From that standpoint, from the linguistic standpoint, we see who is coming to to whom to divide. And as we said, the Nichse Malug, those were properties that she brought into the marriage from, received from her father. The Lo Katani, the Gemara goes on, it doesn't say Yorshev im Yorshev Av, that the Yorshev are coming to take their portion of that which was in the possession of the husband, namely the Ksuba. Shma Mina. So Ravashi's point is taken conclusively. We should point out a structural note that we didn't point out at the beginning of this discussion involving Abaye, but you will notice that there is a long bracketed section starting from the fourth to last narrow line till this point, the second line from the bottom of the Omid. In effect, up till the beginning of the bracketed section, Rabbah had offered his explanation of the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. At that point, Abaye had raised a question, and that question was answered. That was answered at the point that the Gemara on the third wide line had explained that Beishami holds Shtar Oimed Ligvois Kegavui Domui, and therefore the objection of Abaye was answered. So at this point, after we saw Rabbah's explanation, and it seemingly stood up against any questioning, we now come to Abaye's explanation of the Mishnah, the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, the Reisha in which we saw that the Shomeres Yavam was in full control. We saw Mocheres v'Nesenes v'Kayam according to Beis Shammai, and in the in other words, there was no machlokis between Beis Shammai and Sol on that point. We're focusing on Shitas Beis Shammai for the time being, and in the Seifa, the second section of the Mishnah, we saw Beis Shammai saying Yachloku Yorshe Habal im Yorshe Ha'av in the case of Mesa, where the Shemeres Yavam died. We saw Ulo's explanation, Rabbah's explanation, and now Abaye. But before we begin the Gemara itself, we're going to look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom, where Rashi, we'll say, contrasts Abaye's approach with Rabbah's approach. Rabbah emphasized the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa being the difference between her being alive, where she had a strengthened status, versus after her death, where the Yorshe Baal and the Yorshe Ho'av have equal status, hence the Achloku. Abaye, and now let's look at Rashi. Abaye mehader areisha d'shmaitza. Notice the structural sensitivity that Rashi has. When we learn Rashi's like this in Gemara markings, we like to emphasize that Rashi himself was very sensitive to sentence, to Gemara structure, and that's why he goes out of his way to point out that Abaye goes back to the beginning of the sukya. And that's why with our markings you can see how up till this point there was a long section in brackets to point out that what Abaye is doing now is not related to the last half an omid, but rather Abaye is doing what Rabbah did above, giving his explanation of the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. So that's what Rashi says here, that Abaye's Mahadar Reisha d'shmaitzin l'trutzi maishno Reisha the lo pligi. Why in the Reisha do we see that Beis Shammai does not argue? Umay shno Seifa the pligi. And in the Seifa, in the second section of the Mishnah, Beis Shammai does argue. Vitartse, and Rev Anabaye explains, Lav Mishom. And here Rashi is pointing out the difference between this approach and Rabbah's approach. So he says, Lav Mishom de Bereshi Kayemes Vesefa Mishom de Lesa. Not because in the Reisha the woman was still alive and in the Seifa she was dead. This is a point that Rabbah had made, where we saw him saying that because she was alive, so she had a strong holding on the properties. So he says, not so. That's not the factor that's of concern. Devadai Seifa Nami. And the Seifa as well, E Kishi Shemeres Yavam Naflu La, if the properties had come her way while she was a Shemeres Yavam, she was no longer married to the first husband because he was dead, Modu Beishamai de Yorshe Avadoyin, Beishamai would concede to Beis Hillel that her family are considered vadai, they're considered certain, and the property that she got from her father's house would stay in the father's possession, the father's family's possession. Ela Reisha, why in the Reisha do we see that? Do we see what we see? In other words, Rashi here is now going to contrast the Reisha with the Seifa. Elo Reisha denaflu lo kishi shomeres yavam. In the Reisha, in fact, the property came to her while she was a shomeres yavam. Therefore, she has full control of it. She wasn't bound to a husband. He's dead. The yavam is not a major factor. She is kind of independent at this point. Therefore, she can sell as a first choice. And the same would be in Mesa, Yorsheho Yorshino. So if she died, her family would inherit those properties. And here's the main point. The fact that there's a Zika, that there's a connection to the Yavam, that does not enable him to acquire any of those properties that she brought in, that she received from her father's house. Seifa? Why then in the Seifa do we see that the Yavam lays claim? The Nafalok, she tachas b'ayla rishon. It came to her when she was still married to the first husband. So when it came to her when she was still part of, she was still bound to her first husband, so properties like that is something that the Yavam has a type of claim on. But properties that fell to her while she was independent, the Yavam would have no claim to. So the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, according to Abaye, is simply a matter of when did the property come to her. Abaye Omar. We're back in the Gemara, third Botai. Abaye says, Reisha, where Beis Shammai concedes and agrees with Beis Hillel that she can sell as a first choice, that she is in control of the property. Denoflu lo kishi shomeres yavam. It came to her while she was a shomeres yavam. She was a widow from the first husband, only waiting for the second husband. As Rashi said, the fact that she's connected to the yavam is of no consequence. It doesn't strengthen his position. And therefore, she's in full control. Seifa de nafluk she tacht of the baal. In the Seifa, where Beis Shammai says yachloku, where the yavam, where his family, the husband's family, has a claim, where they're going to receive half of those properties, it's because the properties came to her possession while she was still married to her original husband. Hence, giving her husband's family, including the yavam, a foothold. And further analysis. We continue at the top of Lamites, Omer Aleph, the Kosovar Abaye, Yodoi Kiyoda. Literally, the hand of a husband, a husband to whom she is Nesua, is of equal strength to her hand. That's a somewhat abstract portrayal of what we are dealing with in legal terms. So the Gemara at the top, the Rashi that is at the top, the Kosovar Abaye, Yodoi Kiyoda, Midu'uki Plugtayu Benoflu Lo Kishi Tachtov, V'afilu Hochi Lebeis Hillel Nechosen Becheskosen. From the fact that Abaye is setting up the Machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in a case where the properties fell to her while she was with her first husband, and even so, Beis Hillel says nechosa becheskosan, that would mean the nichse malug would remain with her father's family. Kosavra Abaye, this shows, this reveals Abaye's position, Nesua Yodoi Kiyoda Veloy Yoiser. That a Nesua, with regard to her husband, her his strength and her strength are equal, and not Yodo is not greater. Velo Yoser Hilkoch Kishemes the Ain the Yovam Boil Azika, when the husband dies, and all the Yovam has is a connection, Yodoi Greya Miyoda. Her the Yovam's hand is his possession, his strength is weaker than the Yavama, Unechosim Bechezkosa, and the Nechosim remain in their original say status. And hence we're focusing on the Nichsei Melug, properties that she received from her father's house, they remain there. Ubeishamai Pligi Viamri, the Beishamai disagrees. And they say, Nesua, in the case of a married woman, Yodoi Adifa Miyoda. His strength regarding her properties is greater than her strength. Ukshemes Yad Ukshemes, and when the husband dies, Yad HaYovam Kiyoda, the Yovam is equal to her, V'yachloku, and therefore they split, because they're equal. Ubiksubis Vakesid Vami Pligi Abai Varova, Tikum Rabbi Yodoi Kiyoda, Varova Mar Yodoi Adifa Miyoda. In Maseches Ksubis, we find Abai and Rava arguing over these points. Vamrin and Hossam, and the Gemara there says that Nafgamina L'Shemeres Yovam, the difference between the analysis of his strength being equal to hers, or his strength of a Nosui to a Nesua being greater than hers, has halachic ramifications regarding the status of the Yavam. As you can see, both according to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whatever the husband's status with his wife Nesua, the Yavam drops down one level. So that if as a Nesua, Yado, the husband was equal to the wife, as a Yavam, the man's strength is less than the wife. If you say when they were married, the husband's strength claim holding on the properties was greater than the wife's, so a Yavam goes down one level, will be equal to the wife, and that's why Beis Shammai said Yachloku. As you can see, the Gemara itself is very, very abbreviated when the Gemara presents Abai is holding Yodo Kiyoda, so that's, if you say Yodo Kiyoda, that's Beis Shammai's we should say that's Beis Hillel's approach to the Nosui with his wife Nesua, with the original husband and wife having consummated their marriage. And then as Rashi did, he expanded and presented Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai with their respective opinions. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Le Rava. Rava turns to Abaye and says, "E the nafli lo kshehi tachtov the baal. If, as you explained, that the seifa described properties that fell to her when she was still with her original husband, and that's what gave the yavam a claim on it." The kule alma lo pligi diodoi Adifa Miyada, that properties like that would have given the original husband strength that's greater than hers. And Rashi adds, then as a Yavama, even Beis Hillel would agree that the Yorshe Habaal would be able to take hold, would be able to get a portion of the Nechosim. So if we look in the Rashi together, the Yodoi Adifa Miyodoi, the Yodoi of the original husband is stronger than the wife. Vafilu Beis Hillel Modu, even Beis Hillel would concede that the Yavam then would be on equal footing, the Shakli Yorshe Habal Ba Nechosim. So the Yorshe Habal, including the Yavam, would be able to get a portion of it because his brother had even greater strength than the wife. So why is it that in the Seifa, Beis Hillel says, Nechosim b'chezkosim, that the Yorshei HaBaal do not have any claim on the properties? Ela, now we're at the fourth approach, difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, Rava's approach. Idi v'idi, the Reisha and the Seifa, denaflu lo kishihi shomeres yavam. In both cases, the properties, both in the Reisha and the Seifa, the properties fell to her while she was independent. She was still a mere Shomeres Yavam. Reisha, in the Reisha where we saw her having full control, Delo Ovad Bo Maimer. The Yavam had not given her any money. Maimer is a concept we've seen quite a few times already in our Masichta. Very briefly, it's a rabbinic institution where a Yavam gives money to the Yavama in an attempt to, we'll say, start their marriage, to create a stronger bond, if you will, on a rabbinic level. Because Midoraisa, the Yavam doesn't have to give her any money. He has intimacy with her, and that's what makes them husband and wife. But nevertheless, on a rabbinic level, there is a concept known as Maimer. So in the Reisha, where she has full control, that's because the Yavam did not give her any money before the Nechosim came her way, before she took possession of the properties. Seifa, the Avad Ba Maimer. In the Seifa, where we see that the Yavam does have some hold, has some claim on the properties she got from her father's house, is because before she got those properties, he, the Yavam, gave her Maimer money. The Kosovar Rava, and Rava holds, Maimer lebe Shamai, Oise, Vadai, Arusa, Vesofek, Nesua. And these are very abstract terms, and the Gemara explains them. Once again, we're analyzing Beis Shammai. Throughout the sugya, we're focusing on Beis Shammai. So Rava tells you that Beis Shammai holds that the mimer that's given by him creates this status called Vadai Arusa Vesafik Nesua. Vadai Arusa means Lidchois Batsora. That if you have Ruvain and Shimon, and Ruvain, they are brothers. Ruvain died, leaving two wives. And Shimon gave Maimer money. Shimon is the Yavam. Of course, Reuven had no children. So Shimon, the brother, is the Yavam, and he gave money to one of Reuven's two widows. That prevents, that knocks out, that removes the other widow from being a candidate for Yibum. It's Dochet, pushes her away. What about the other expression, Vesafek Nesua? What does that mean? Lachloik Benachosin. Now we dot underline that because that's the main point of our discussion. We had raised the issue of how is it that if the property comes to her while she is a Shemeres Yavam, how can the Yavam have, which represents the Yorshei HaBaal, how can he have any claim? Why does Beis Shammai say Yachloku? Because it makes her a quasi or a suffek nesua. Now, it's a full-fledged nesua, so the husband has full control. But it makes like a suffek nesua, and therefore they split the property. Itmar mishmei de Rebbe Elazar, kavosei de Rava. Rebbe Elazar re-explains the Mishnah like Rava explains. V'itmar mishmei de Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Chanino, kavosei de Abaye. And Rabbi Yosi Bechinur explains the Mishnah like Abaye. Namely, Abaye said that the Seifa, where we see that the husband's family, the Yavam, had a claim on the Nichsei Malug, on the property she brought into the marriage, is because the property came to her while she was still married to the original husband. And now the Gemara focuses on Rebbe Elazar. Umi, Amar Rebbe Elazar, Hochi. Would Rebbe Elazar have said as he did? Namely, he explained the Mishnah like Rava explained. And how did Rava explain the Mishnah? So he spoke about, Rava mentioned Maimer, and that Maimer creates a Suffolk, a Vane Arus and Suffolk Nesua. Well, would Rebbe Lazar have said that? Oh, my Rebbe Lazar, Maimer Lebe Shammai. Notice how the double underlining helps you to compare what Maimer, according to Beis Shammai, accomplishes. We saw, according to Rava, it accomplished 2 points. It created a Vadai Arusa and a Suffolk Nesua, and we saw the ramifications of those classifications. Now we see Rebbe Lazar's explanation. Maimer lebeis shamai eino koina elo lutchois bitzara bilvad. All Maimer accomplishes is to disqualify the co-wife from doing yibum. That the woman that received the Maimer would continue with the yibum process and not her co-wife. But no application, Maimer has no ramification or nafkamina or any application to property possession. So we see Rebbe Lazar's position regarding Maimer according to Beis Shammai. So how can it be claimed before that Rebbe Lazar explains the Mishnah like Rava? Rather, Apel. Switch around, and the result of switching around, then we'll have Rebbe Lazar explaining the Mishnah like Abaye. And just to repeat, Abaye's explanation of the Seifa, why the Yorshe Habal had any claim on the properties that she got from her father's household, is because we're talking about properties that came to her while she was still Nesua to the first husband. So that's the first approach here, and as far as straightening out Rebbe Lazar and who he holds like. Another approach with regarding Rebbe Lazar is you don't have to switch around like we just did, but rather Omar Loch Rebbe Lazar ki amri ano, when I said Maimer lebe Shammai is einu kine el lufis b'tzor bovad, what that means is the lo sagi law beget ela deboi nami chalitza. What I meant to say is that when you do Maimer, don't think that if you want to, let's say, break off, that it's enough to simply give a divorce document. That would be the case of a strange man and woman that meet with one another, and the man gives her money, creating a marital bond. A get is all that's needed. Not so over here when you're dealing with a yevama. But rather, chalitza is also necessary. That's what I meant when I said that Maimer lebeis shamai eina kaina ela lutchois b'tzara bovad. However, lachloik b'nechasim delo kani mi amri. Notice the dot underlining and also the star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. When I said what I did, namely that not my beis shamai is einu kaina ela lutchois b'tzara bovad, I didn't mean to say that the yavam is not kaina the nechasim. No, he is kaina, and as we saw before, since Maimer was done and then she died, so the Yorshe Habal, which includes the Yavam, have a right to split the properties. And that explanation is in fact what Rava explained before. Omar Rav Papa, Diyuka de Masnisin Kavose Dabaye Viafagav de Kashya Mesa. Notice, this is a point. It's a long point where we feature Rav Papa's view of this sugya. So by Rav Papa's pointing out the yuka de masnisin kavose dabaye, that means to say that the seifa is speaking about a case where the nechosim, the property, fell to her while she was with her original husband. Even though a problem arises from the Seifa, meaning, as we saw, the Gemara had asked, from the case of Mesa. And, as we say, the Gemara will explain this as we go on. Now the Hesper. Dikotoni. Nechosim hanichnosim v'yoytzin ima. That is what we saw in the language of the Mishnah. My nichnosin umay yoytzin. Lav, does that not mean nichnosin l'rishus habal? So that shows us that it's property that entered while she was, it entered the domain of the husband. So it means that it entered while there was a husband. The yoytzin, what does that mean? Mirishus habal, rishus ha'av. That when she dies, it left the domain of the husband and entered the domain of the father. So, what do you see from this? You see that in the Seifa, we're dealing with property that came to her while she was still with her husband. Now, the second point that Rav Papa made was V'afagav dekashio mesa. What does that mean? If the Mishnah is in fact talking about properties that came to her while she had still been married to her original husband, ademiflegi begufa uliachar mesa, instead of the Mishnah speaking about the property itself, the principle of the property itself, the principal value of the property itself, and a case where she had died, liflegu b'chayel, the peros. You could have presented the machlokes where she was still alive, and the Beis Shammai could have argued where she's still alive, and the issue of who would benefit from the usufruct, from the use of the produce of the properties. Since the analysis is that of Yodoi Ki Yoda, since Abaye holds Yodo Ki Yoda, that his strength is like her strength, again, according to Abaye's Hesber of Beis Shammai, the Yavam and the Yavoma are equal strength. So being that they're equal strength, that would have been reason enough to split the fruits. So once again, as far as Rav Papa is concerned, by careful reading of the Mishnah, we seem to be, the Mishnah is talking in fact about property that came to her in the Seifa. We're talking about property that came to her while she was still married to the original husband. However, if that was the case, why did the Mishnah speak about a situation where the Yavama had died? It could have spoken about the situation where the Yavama was still alive and what happens between the Yavam and the Yavama regarding the Peros. So since it didn't, the Mishnah spoke about Mesa, so it creates a little bit of discomfort. Vesu lo midi. There's no further discussion on this topic. Rashi says Vesu lo midi, just a couple lines down from in the Rashi. Ein lo hoshiv al kach devadai daika kavose v'kashiole mesa. It's definitely the Mishnah itself is definitely reflective or proves Abaye's approach with this difficulty as well of mesa. Konso harehi ki ishto lechol davar. The Mishnah said that if once the Yavam marries the Yavama, she becomes like his wife regarding all matters. Lamai hilchaso. When you say regarding all matters, what do you mean? Om Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina loimar shemegarsha beget. It means that if they want to split up now, that all he would need is to give her a get, a standard divorce document. No need for the chalitza shoe removal ceremony. U machzira. And it also tells us that just like any regular husband-wife, if they divorce, the husband, assuming he's not a Kohen, can remarry her. So to the Yavam who divorces his wife, the Wedbine Yavama, he can remarry her. Those are 2 points. The Gemara now goes over the 2 points. The first point of Megarsha Beget, the Gemara asks, Megarsha Beget Pshita. Well, once he marries her, it's obvious that if he wants to get rid of her, he would have to use a get. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me that point when it says ki ishto l'chol davar? So the Gemara answers. I should add here, by the way, not just the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's explanation of the Mishnah, telling me that Megar Shebeget, that information would seem to be obvious. The Gemara answers, Salka Daita Chamina, without the Mishnah telling me ki ishto l'chol davar, and this point that as Rav Yossi explains Megar Shebeget, I would have thought Hayo uksiv v'lokcha loy li'isha v'yivma Omar Rachmana. I would have thought v'adayin yivumi harishain oleha. I would have thought that the yibum facet of the woman is still upon her. That if he wants to get rid of her, b'chalitza in beget lovet. After he marries her, she still is considered a yavama. And how do you release a yavama? Through chalitza, and not a get. Komash malon, therefore I need the Mishnah to tell me, along with Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's explanation, that harei kishta l'chol davar, and it means when he wants to divorce her, if he should so desire, a get is enough, just like a regular wife. The second point, machzira. If after divorcing her he wants to take her back, he can do so. Pshita, is that not obvious? Salka Veita Chamina, without being told this point explicitly, I would have thought on my own, Mitzvah de Ramya Rachmona Ole Avda. When he originally took her in as a Yavama, so he fulfilled his Mitzvah. And that's it. And now that's a thing of the past. Once he divorces her, Hashto Tekum Ole Be'isur Eshazach. Once he divorces her, so it restores things to the original status, and now what you have is a woman that you finished the mitzvah, and once that's done, her original status of being brother's wife remains upon her. And you can't marry your brother's wife outside the context of the mitzvah, and once you did the mitzvah, you finished with that. Now she simply is a brother's wife. And that she would be usher to you. You can't take her back now after divorcing her. Komash Malon, that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Harei Kishtel Chodover, and as Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina explained, you can divorce her and take her back as well. V'yema Hochinami, maybe we should say everything that we did say. In other words, the two Havaminas that we had. We had Salka Daita Chamina twice. You can see that we have a little crown marking around each one. So here the Gemara is asking, maybe let's in fact say that which was suggested in each crown. Omar Kro, the Lokha Loi Leisha. That is what we saw in the Pasuk. Kevon Shelokha, once you take her, Hare Hi Keishtoi Lechol Davar. The Pasuk is telling me clearly, she then loses her entire Yavama status and becomes like a regular wife, with all that that implies. And as we saw, once you take her in, if you want to divorce her, a get is enough. If you want to take her back, you are allowed to take her back. The Mishnah said that even though we're saying it's a regular wife, she's marrying now a second husband, her brother-in-law, as far as who provides or from where is her ksuba to be provided for, the Mishnah says, from her first husband's estate. My taima, why is that? Why is it that we don't say to the Yavam, you have to provide for her ksuba regardless of anything to do with her original husband's property? The reason for that is why we don't impose this upon the Yavam. Isha hiknu loy min hashamayim. Rashi says min hashamayim velo shibeid nechos of the ksubasa v'yachol lemoichron b'cholei shirtze. This is a woman that was, we'll say, imposed upon him to a certain degree from heaven. It's not something that he initiated. And as a result, we don't expect him to bear the initial ksuba responsibility. And as far as his own properties are concerned, he can sell them as he wishes without having to feel that they're bound, without having to acknowledge that they're bound to her ksuba, because they're not. V'i less law min harishon. Let us say that the original husband had in fact no property. So what is the source of guaranteeing her ksuba, the money that she would receive if she should become widowed again? So if the original husband had no properties, takinu law misheni. The chachomim established that she shall get her ksuba payment from the yovan's properties, kidei shelo tehe kala b'einov lotzia, so that it shouldn't appear easy to him to get rid of her, to divorce her at the slightest, we'll say, slightest feeling of displeasure with her, feeling that he doesn't have to, that it won't cost him anything. Not so. If he should, in fact, decide to divorce her, and his original brother, the deceased brother, has no money, he will have to pay out of his own pocket, as the Gemara said, so that he shouldn't be able to get rid of her so easily at the slightest disagreement or feeling of displeasure. It shouldn't be too easy for him to get rid of her. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.